This morning, we just have a couple brief moments. We also have, as I mentioned earlier, we've got a unique opportunity to witness the step of individuals' faith in their journey with Christ and yielding fully to Him and His leading and the Holy Spirit's moving in their life. And so I want to, you know, be best with the time and be prompt. And so if you'll give me 7 minutes here this morning, I just want to just talk about the process. Over the last 9 weeks, before I get into that, though, junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry prepared, especially for them. Joanna will take you to the room, and Kelsey, and will teach you principles of what Jesus has put on their heart. But over the last 9 weeks, we have talked about the new mission statement for Trinity United Methodist Church. We've talked about loving Jesus. We have talked about growing together and serving our world. We started with the foundational concept or precepts that have to be in loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving our neighbor as ourself, and then also with loving one another as Jesus' last command. We looked at what it means to grow together and growing together in united, you know, faith as a body of believers, growing individually in Christ, and not only that, but growing in mission. The last 3 weeks, we started looking at serving our world and what that means. And we found that serving our world means making disciples of Jesus Christ. We found that serving our world indicates that we will serve our world through acts of service. And last week, we found that serving our world means loving the unlovable. This week, we find ourselves in the book of Acts, chapter 1. If you brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, turn to the book of Acts. We're going to primarily look at verse 8. And for contextual reasons, we'll read the first 11 verses. The setting is this. The disciples, they had all huddled together and met in Jerusalem. And they were receiving their final instructions from Jesus before He ascends to heaven. Verse 8, Acts chapter 1, is the thesis, or it's the whole concept of what the entire rest of the book of Acts focuses upon. I want us to realize that what Jesus charges the disciples with, they had two roads they could go. They could either try to seek what He was commanding them to do, to be His witnesses in their own strength, or to rely upon His power, His strength, and His ability. And friends, the instruction from Jesus was to focus upon Himself for the disciples, for you and for me. The instruction was to depend upon the power of God, and the instruction was to proceed methodically outward from Jerusalem and starting from their homes to the ends of the world. One of the reasons why I get so fired up about individuals being baptized and even young infants being presented for being, you know, baptism is because they're making that choice to fully yield their heart, their mind, their soul, and their life unto the Lordship of Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you have your Bibles open, follow along as I begin in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after He through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom He also presented Himself alive after His suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, "You have heard from Me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked Him, saying, "Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in His own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when He had spoken these things while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. As I mentioned, the verse 8 is the crux of the entire book of Acts. And you can see how the church progressed, how the message of the gospel, how Jesus' good news was proclaimed throughout all the world. I want to just begin and go backwards with verse 8. That's going to be our entire text. And I want to talk about three things real briefly. I want to talk about the process. I want to talk about the person. And then I want to talk about the promise. We're told at the end of verse 8 that we will be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jerusalem, my friends, were the disciples' home for them. It was a holy city. It was a place of worship and honor for the Lord. We can begin to apply this to our own life. And individually, we can see that we must start at home. This is why being baptized to me is a vital, important, necessary thing, because those individuals are saying, we want to honor God, we want to worship the Lord, we want to exalt and revere Him first and foremost in our homes. Our homes, friends, must be holy. They must be places of worship and where the Lord is honored. Will Rogers said it this way. He says, so live that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell the family parrot to the town gossip. And many times I think we compartmentalize and we segment out our life and we say what I am and who I am on Sunday morning is totally different than who I am on Monday morning. And it ought not be so. We should have so transparent of lives that who we are on Sunday morning is the same as who we are on Monday at work and through Friday at work. Corporately, as a church, we must start in our community, in the community of Gibsonburg, to begin to share the love of Christ, to begin here at home. Our church must be focused upon the holiness of God. This is why I believe that my mentality is to have high church. Not so high that it's unapproachable, but we need to be reverent, we need to be holy, we need to be respectful. We need to, when we enter the sanctuary, we ought to have that sense of awe, A-W-E, that we are in God's presence. We are in the holiness of the Lord, as God told Moses, hey, take off your sandals, you are on hallowed ground, you are on holy ground. Our church must be a place of worship and where God, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is honored. Secondly, the process is to move out to all Judea and all Samaria. And if you were to look at a map of Israel, you would see that Jerusalem is in the center. And if you were to draw a circle around Jerusalem, you could begin to draw larger and larger circles. And then the second circle would be Judea and Samaria. These are the outer regions. These would include the people that were viewed as marginalized, outcast, the poor, the weak of society, those people that society has brushed aside. Individually, that can be our places of work or the regions where we live. Corporately, this could be for Trinity United Methodist Church, Northwest Ohio, or the Midwest. It could also encompass the Henderson Settlement, which is down in the Appalachia area. But Jesus continues on, and he says, you will be my witnesses even to the ends of the earth. And ultimately, the gospel reached the whole of the Roman world, and it reached Rome itself. Individually, we could view this as the whole of the United States and the rest of the world, and corporately, we could say the same for the church. That we need to be concerned with those missionaries all around the world. We need to be concerned with the rest of the United States and not just our own little corner of the world. But Jesus says something interesting. He says, you will be my witnesses. And it's to what we witness that matters. He says, you will be my witnesses to me, is what he says. We, my friends, will be witnesses to Jesus. And so I'm just going to throw this out here, and this is the second thing. The person, the God that we focus upon. And this is baptism, making public the profession of an internal confession. To make a public witness of the faith in Christ Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord. everything, my friends, that we do here at Trinity United Methodist Church must be about sharing Christ to others. And I'll just go so far to say if we're involved in anything that does not move people closer to Christ, then we ought not be involved in it. Everything that we possess must be leveraged for kingdom ministry, and everything that we are involved in must be seeking to move others closer to Jesus. Friends, faith is not like going to Philadelphia, and it doesn't matter where you're, what road you're on, as long as your destination is Philadelphia. Friends, the particular importance is we need to be about Christ and Christ crucified. I can't tell you how many times I've sat with people where they have shared with me time and time again that the God that we serve, Jesus Christ, our living Lord, is the same God as Islam, is the same God as Mormonism, is the same God as Jehovah's Witness. And friends, there's no bigger lie from the pit of hell than that. Jesus himself said, no one comes to the Father except through Christ and Christ crucified. We have to be about Jesus. We have to be about Christ and him crucified. This is being a witness to Jesus and him alone. If we fail to grasp this, we will become like the church in New York that literally hung a sign on the door in a closed office front that said this, out of business, we forgot what our business was. And friends, Jesus is telling what our business is. Our business is to be witnesses to him and him alone. And that's our business. That's what we are to be about. He's given us the process. He's now told us to be particular in the person, the God, Jesus Christ, the living Lord, the one who conquered death and overcame sin so that you and I can pass through into all of eternity. And not only that, but live life here and now forevermore and have joy abundant. The third thing that we need to do is we need to rest in the promise. And this is right up front in this verse, and I personally love this. Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Power in the Greek is the word dunamis, and we receive the English word dynamite from this Greek word. And Jesus is really saying that you and I, all those believers in Christ Jesus, that we have come to faith in him, that we have spiritual dynamite at our disposal. And yet, sometimes we want to leverage this spiritual blessing for our own use. And friends, the only use that this should be used for is for glorifying God through the spiritual gifts, through serving him, through the fellowship and witness to others. Jesus told us he wouldn't leave us orphans. He said he would send a helper. He would send a paraclete, a counselor, an advocate. He would send one. And this is the promise in John 14:26. It's a promise not to leave us orphans. It's a promise to give us an advocate, the helper, the paraclete. It's a promise to indwell all believers. We could trace this all the way back to the Old Testament. Time isn't permitting, though. Where God said in the book of Ezekiel that he will remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, and he will give us the Spirit. And then we will have the Holy Spirit, which is God in us. We will have the Spirit of God to empower us. This promise was emblematic of Jesus' baptism in Luke, right before Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus was baptized, and if you remember, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, and it filled Jesus. And in verse 1 of Luke 4, we are told, then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. And friends, I want to share with you, maybe you don't know, but you and I, we too can be filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not just something that was for Jesus and only Jesus, the God, the Savior of the world. It's for you and for me. In Ephesians, we are told not to be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're wondering how are we filled with God's Spirit? We first have to seek the Lord. We first have to align ourselves with him. We have to align our lives with his. We have to remove all known sins in our life. We place our desire to love, serve, and honor him above everything else in this world. Our entire disposition is to serve, love, and follow the living Lord Jesus Christ. And in so doing, we will stop grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. To put it succinctly, we start yielding our life. We yield our heart, our mind, our will, our life to the control of God. This is a daily thing. One of those markers on yielding to God is being baptized. And I'm going to have Kim and Larry and John and Anthony Jen come forward, if you would. And part of that yielding is making public the profession of faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. I'm going to start with Anthony. And Anthony, you are to be baptized, and I'm going to get over here so everybody can see you. And just a quick question, is it your desire to make public your personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. Jen, I know speaking with you and Anthony, how God has done a work in both your lives, and I know of your faith in Christ Jesus. And is it your desire to make public your faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, it is.
Okay. John, I've spoken with you time and time again, and I know of your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is it your desire to make public your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And Kim and Larry, what a blessing you guys have been to Trinity. And is it your desire to make public your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right, I am going to dismiss these five so they can go change, and we're going to do something a little different here. The Kimmets, Ron and Grace, have a swimming pool right behind the church, and the Holcombs are going to come back and lead us in a couple more songs. And I would just encourage all of us, we're going to utilize the Kimmets swimming pool, and so you guys can go get changed, and I will meet you all out there. And so we are just going to praise God while we prepare for this monumentous step of faith in these five individuals' lives. What a blessing it is. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the saturation that you constantly pour out upon us. Father, I thank you for these individuals. I thank you for all my friends here. I pray that you would bless them indeed, bless them abundantly, that you might receive all the glory, the praise, and the honor. So, Father, as we witness this public profession of an inward spiritual grace, that you have done a work in the hearts and the lives of these individuals, I pray, God, that you would be glorified. Jesus, you would be honored, and Holy Spirit, that you would be extolled. So, Father, we commit this into your care. May you be blessed. May you be honored. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.